Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know anyone who goes to Arlington National Cemetery, or even up the road to Leavenworth National Cemetery, not struck by awe. Row after row after row of gravestones, names, dates of those who lay there, who gave so much for the freedoms that we now enjoy. White stones mark service, duty, sacrifice. Reverent awe at the tombs of the unknowns. The precision of the guards. I mean, great care goes into maintaining that place because of what it means. A place of honor, respect. An important place to remember those who laid down their lives for our nation. And remember Friday, Veterans Day. But it's a place that was never meant to be. God created the world. He didn't create cemeteries. He created a garden, created us to live and not die. The earth was never meant to contain the bodies of man. And sin makes such places necessary. Sin brought death into the world. Cemeteries are our creation. And the Lord comes to address this. Jesus didn't just come to give life, even more. He came to take away your sin, your death. His duty, sacrifice, takes all of our life-stealing sin upon himself. All of it for you. Hurting you, sinful you. Jesus came and entered in sin and death and the cemeteries of our creation. And salvation belongs to the Lamb. Yeah, he brings life from a cemetery. Death defeated dies for us. How then can his children die? For Christ has won for us, which he bestows in his forgiveness and life and abundant gifts. And we sing. The scripture shows us that God gave us a voice to confess this truth in song. I mean, even when burdened life in chaos, when afflicted with sorrows, sing. We distinctly sing at funerals that those who mourn have the song of salvation, the song of the resurrection resounding in their ears. I don't know who can sing the Behold a Host we just sang, or For All the Saints, and think about those words without tearing up, at least on the inside. Tears, we miss them. Tears, we still hurt. And tears for what joy is already theirs now. Tears that we will embrace them again in paradise soon. And whether it's been months or years since they died, you never get over grief. I mean, you get on, you get by, you adapt to the loss of their presence. But you never quite get over their death. Nor should you. Your heart still aches. Hardly a day goes by. But you are comforted by the Lord himself. That is enough. You are blessed by Jesus. Blessed. I mean, do you realize what Jesus means in those Beatitudes of today's gospel? What is blessed? Makarios in Greek. And the Beatitudes are taught by most as if-then statements. If you do this, then you're blessed. It's God's spiritual rules, virtues you must do in order to be blessed. And it's not true. They're wrong. Those Beatitudes are sweetest gospel for you. Jesus is telling you who you really are in him. I mean, every time Matthew uses makarios, it deals with salvation. present and eternal. Blessed is saved. Blessed is receiving his kingdom, his daily works upon you, his death, his resurrection, his life. Blessed is to be with Jesus now, forever. You know, when I give communion to people on their deathbed, I mean, so far, it hasn't restored any to health. There's many tears. And comforted by Christ, it is the medicine that they needed most. It prepared them for paradise with the saints because it brought them the risen body and blood of Jesus and washed away all their sins. This is the feast. This song of creation. Blessing, glory, and honor might be to our God and Lamb forever. Amen. You are blessed. For Christ himself comforts you. And you know what lies ahead. As they are, you soon will be. What glories await you, you blessed. And this is what drives us. And we must limit ourselves to the limits of Holy Scripture, of what it reveals to us, and rest in his promises. The way we cannot fully understand why a loved one dies when they do, or why we don't have loved ones, or answers to everything in life we wrestle with in a way that would convince us, or even an atheist or a skeptic, rest in his promises. We know that God is good. We believe Jesus' sacrifice is risen and reigning and destroyed the power of sin and death. So in life, you make it sad even if your old dog dies. I don't blame you. You're right in being sad. But Jesus lives. He's promised you a new creation. Will that give you everything you want in the way that you imagine? No. It will be far greater than that. And I get this question too. How aware are the saints in heaven of us here on earth? And well, we don't exactly know. We know Jesus gives a story that shows awareness. Revelation 5. The saints in heaven are praying for us. In Hebrews, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. But do they know everything that's going on? And I hear this, they must not know, because if mother knew how much pain and trouble I go through, she'd be sad. And she can't be sad in heaven. Or if they knew what evil, sinful things we do in secret, they'd be sad. And my response is, I don't know. But I absolutely know they would not be sad. Because your loved one is at one with the will of the Father. And they believe without any doubt that he works all things together for good. So if they see all things here, they see the Lord is working good beyond your reason. I mean, do you think the Lord is watching David and Bathsheba and wringing his hands in sadness? I mean, of course the sin is offensive. But he knows David will repent and learn and write psalms to sing the Lord's praises in the congregation of the living. You know, there's that Palm Sunday hymn, a good hymn, Right On, Right On in Majesty. That says, angels look down with sadness to see the approaching sacrifice. No, they are not. But celebrate his passion. Jesus confesses against all reason and experience as he goes to the cross for you. This is the reality throughout our lives. What happens in our reason, our experiences, but we don't believe it. And we know this every time at a funeral and cemetery, when we say, "Oh grave, where is your victory?" And you could think, it's right there. You see a dead body in the casket. Your loved one dead. How can we say, "Oh grave, where is your victory?" We are confessing a greater reality, saying what's true, what God promised. Jesus lives. His word true. The grave is a liar, and no one who believes in Jesus ever dies. They're not dead. All their body sleeps. Your future, beyond all thought, imagination. So Tuesday, do your civic duty. Pray. And come what may in this life. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what happens Tuesday, or your regrets, your failures, or what care you'll have when you're old, or money woes, diseases, or whether your dreams come true here. What matters, what endures, the Lamb who is slain lives. He will bring you home. And you will not miss out on anything that this world has to offer. Or time with loved ones. You have all things in heaven with Christ. Your loved ones, eternity. Our cemeteries are only temporary. And so therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, that's your loved ones, gathered around the Lamb, his altar, one holy communion. You are his blessed saints. Not that you've earned it or deserve it. You aren't good enough. But he made you one. Saints. Holy. Forgiven. His. That's who you are. Now, forever, blessed in him. In the name of Jesus, amen.